That's a great privilege to be here today to speak about the four standing instructions of the Legion of Mary. And it's a wonderful turnout for this Congress, and it's great to have all of you here. As you know, the name Legion of Mary was not the original name. It was originally called the Association of Our Lady of Mercy because they visited the Dublin Mercy Hospital. But I'm very happy that the Holy Spirit had the name changed to Legion of Mary because now we're called legionaries and not mercenaries. So if you have your Legion handbook, take a look at the four standing instructions found on page 109 in the handbook. Page 109. And it mentions that these are read at the first meeting of every month by the president, right after the signing of the minutes. So we're going to just walk through each of these four standing instructions. The first one says, legionary duty requires from each legionary, first, the punctual and regular attendance at the weekly meetings of the Presidium and the furnishing thereof an adequate and audible report on the work done. It's an interesting idea that the word audible is there, right? You know why that's in there? Because Frank Duff was deaf. That's why. The court, he had hearing aids. He couldn't hear too well, so he made sure that in the standing instructions it had to be an audible report. So isn't that interesting that the founder got that part in there? Let's look at and try to unfold what this means. First, this first thing instruction is the most important one. It comes first because that is the first and most sacred duty of every legionary is to attend the weekly meeting of the Presidium. It's more important than the work. The handbook says, the meeting is to the work what the root is to a flower. That the flower could not live without the root. The work will not grow or thrive without the meeting. The meeting is the most important and most sacred duty because this is where the legionary primarily grows in holiness, and that's the purpose of being in the legion, to become a saint, to grow in holiness, to have spiritual formation. And this occurs at the meeting through the prayers of the meeting, especially the Holy Rosary and these other prayers that are so filled with indulgences and graces and blessings. And then we have the spiritual reading that helps to make us holy, the discussion. Whenever we go to our Legion meeting, we're spending time with Christ. He said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst of them. So look at your Legion meeting as your appointment with Jesus, because he's there. Two or more are gathered, Jesus promises to be there at every Legion meeting, because we're gathered in his name. But where Jesus is, Mary must be as well, right? Mary's not going to not be there. If Jesus is there, the Blessed Mother will be there too. So Mary is there as represented by her statue. What is the Legion meeting? It's not just a meeting. It is a cenacle. It is being in the upper room with Our Lady and the apostles. You are the apostles. Mary is there. At the Legion meeting, we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful. So we pray for the Holy Spirit, just like the apostles prayed at Pentecost for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we go out from our upper room every week to evangelize the world, just like the apostles, after spending time with Our Lady, evangelized the world. So it's our mini Pentecost. Every Presidium meeting, we say, come, Holy Spirit. And with Our Lady, we then are filled with the Holy Spirit and go out to bring Christ to the world. So the standing instruction reminds us that we have the duty to be punctual, regular, attend the weekly meeting of the Presidium. So punctuality is such an important aspect of the Legion. The Legion meeting always starts on time and ends on time. And Father McGrath said that this changed the whole Philippine Islands, because before the Legion, everybody was on Filipino time, right? Yeah, 7 o'clock Mass would start at 7:20. Maybe we could say that's also Spanish time, right? So, but the Legion starts at 7 o'clock, right? The bus of mother shows up at 7, whether or not anybody else is there. And she leaves at 8:30, right? Because she stays for an hour and a half. So punctual and regular attendance. So what I'd recommend is don't just be punctual, be there ahead of time. That way you can help set up the meeting, help the officers set up. And don't just leave it up to the president to get there early. Just come early and set up. It's like going to Mass. It's better to get to Mass early so you can pray and get into the spirit of the spirituality of it. And it says it has to be a regular meeting. And this is the Legion, it says, is like a beating heart. It's regular, week after week, month after month, year after year, and that's what makes saints. Then it's weekly. Again, just like your Sunday Mass, which is the source and summit of your Christian life, so the weekly meeting is the source and summit of the legionary life. Now, to do something every week, it means we want to get good at it. If you want to learn piano, right, you take weekly piano lessons. If you want to learn boxing or fencing or wrestling, you do something on a regular basis. So if you want to get good at holiness, you do something on a regular basis, weekly, week after week. So when we look at the Presidium meeting, we see that it's filled with prayer at the beginning, the middle, and the end. The opening prayers of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual, the rosary, and then the catena halfway through, and then the concluding prayers. So it really is a prayer meeting, but it's more than that. It's also a business meeting, and our business is the business of saving souls, which is the most important business on earth, much more important than Wall Street or, big companies, the business of saving souls. The meeting is an adult education formation where you learn your Catholic faith. It's an apologetics training seminar where every week you learn how to defend and explain your faith. It's an opportunity for spiritual direction and spiritual formation, whether or not you have a priest. If you do, you're very blessed. If you don't, the handbook itself, the Legion system itself, gives you spiritual formation and spiritual direction. The Presidium meeting is a family. It is that's what we call each other, brother and sister. Father McGrath once said that that's the reason why he joined the Legion of America, because he was terrible at remembering names. And so this way, when he travels around the world, he says, "Hello, brother. Hello, sister." Isn't that smart? Name another organization that can do that for you. Okay? So the Legion is a family. It's a social. It becomes your fraternity, your spiritual support group. It's also, of course, a presidium, which is a Latin word for a fighting unit, a military garrison, an outpost. So I'd recommend, to further your knowledge of the Presidium meeting, read page 71 in the Legion Handbook, which talks about the weekly meeting of the Presidium with its supernatural atmosphere, its wealth of prayer, its devotions, its fraternity. It talks about how the meeting is the heart of the Legion, the powerhouse from which all life and energy are derived, the treasury out of which the special needs are provided for, the community exercise where someone sits unseen, that of course is Christ, where the grace of the work is given. See, when you do your work, you're going, receiving the grace from the meeting. That's where you get your work. Where you're imbued with the spirit of religious discipline, where you grow pleasing to God and personal sanctification. So that is the spiritual benefits that you have from the meeting. And take a look at page 110 in your Legion Handbook. If you don't have your handbook with you, write these pages down and you can read them later. On page 110, this is the other part of the standing instruction. The furnishing thereof an adequate and audible report on the work done. Imagine that the report is so important that it's in the standing instruction, that you have to give an adequate and audible report on the work done. The best way to make an adequate report is to use a notebook. Every legionary should have a notebook, as the handbook says. And then it mentions on page 110 and 111 that The report is not directed to the president alone, but to the whole presidium. You should speak in a nice, loud voice, especially the president sets the tone for all the members. And talks about the report, it says, is as important to the meeting as the prayers. They supplement each other. The middle of page 111 says both are necessary elements of the presidium. It says your report must be a clear presentation of what you did on your assignment, as vivid as going to a movie with a cinema screen. It says you want to be able to engage the other members mentally on the work that you did so that they can comment on it and learn from it. In your report, you must give what is attempted and what is achieved, in what spirit, how much time was spent, the methods used, what was gained, and those that still yet to be reached. The meeting should be bright and cheerful, so your report should be always interesting and bright and cheerful. Don't just give a mediocre report. Always strive to give an excellent report. Your report should not be too long or too short. And above all, it should not be a routine. So read those sections. That will be helpful. So obviously it gives number of calls, number of contacts, interesting stories, and always strive to do things for perfection for Our Lady. And then page 193, read that little section sometime on 193. It says, each brick, each report is a brick in the edifice of the meeting. Each missing report is a defective blow at the meeting. So every meeting, we build a shrine in honor of Our Lady, and every report is a brick in that shrine that we build in honor of her. So again, give an adequate and audible report on the work done. Make sure that even Frank up in heaven with his hearing aids can hear that report, okay? The second, the daily recitation of the Catena. So the Catena is the only prayer that you have to say every day as a legionary. So isn't that amazing that the Legion says to be in the Legion, you have to pray for about 90 seconds a day? Okay? That's not much, is it? But I'll tell you, the reason why Frank Duff and the Legion did that is so you would not have any excuses to be an apostle. So somebody could say, well, I can't join the Legion because I can't pray the rosary every day. And Frank Duff says, okay, we'll get rid of that excuse to stay the Catena every day, and that will be sufficient. So it's the only prayer, 1 or 2 minutes a day, that we have to pray. Every active member, every auxiliary member says that prayer. Now, the Legion, let me give you a little hint. The Legion is very sneaky, okay? Because it will lead you to a deeper prayer life. It starts you with 90 seconds a day. But you know what? Pretty soon you're saying the rosary every day, aren't you? Admit it, everybody. This is Rosary Anonymous. You can admit it. And then, you know what happens? You start going to daily Mass. You start going to daily Communion. You start praying the Liturgy of the Hours, right? You become a Praetorian member, all from 90 seconds a day. So look how sneaky the Blessed Mother is. She gets you in. She pulls you into the Legion. And pretty soon, you're a prayer warrior. You are a Praetorian member. And I do hope and pray that each of you will become a Praetorian member. Daily Mass and Communion, daily Rosary, the entire Tessera, which is not just the Catena, but all the prayers of the Tessera, and then the Liturgy of the Hours, morning and evening prayer, or some other office approved by the Church. So we start with the Catena. And this is the second most important duty as a legionary. The meeting comes first, and then the Catena. It's even before the work, believe it or not, because it's listed second. What is the Catena Legionis? It is the chain of the Legion. Catena means chain. And every Catena we say every day links us to every member throughout the world. 3 million active members and 10 million auxiliary members, at least. Could be far more than that. It could be 15 or 20 million as far as we know. But let's say it's millions of people. So that's the most important prayer you should say every day. your container. Never miss it. You don't want to be the one legionary out of 13 million that is the missing link, right? So don't become the missing link. Don't break that chain that encircles the globe every day. And the first person that began with this chain was our Blessed Mother when she prayed her Magnificat, which is such a beautiful prayer. You know, Father McGrath was in the communist prison cell for almost 3 years. He said his greatest consolation was that he knew that every legionary was praying the Catena every day. And he said his Catena every day in prison. And he knew that he was united to all legionaries throughout the world. So don't be that one to break that beautiful chain that encircles the globe every day. Now, when you look at your Catena, you see you can pull out your tessera or go in the handbook to the Legion prayers, which are found on page 132, 133 in your Legion handbook. The Catena starts out with a question, which is an antiphon. And so this is the question. Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, as fair as the moon, as bright as the sun, as terrible as an army set in battle array? The answer is Mary. Mary is the answer to that question. Mary is as beautiful as the dawn, as the sun rising, and she's as fair as the moon, as lovely as the moon, and she's as bright as the sun. And to Satan and his legionaries, the fallen angels, she is terrible as an army set in battle array. So Mary is the answer to that question. So we say the antiphon at the beginning and at the end, and in between is the Magnificat, which is Mary's canticle, Mary's hymn of praise to the Heavenly Father. I'd encourage you to get a copy of the Navarre commentary on the Gospel of Luke. The Navarre Bible has commentaries on the entire Old and New Testament. But get the volume or the whole New Testament on, especially read the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 46, Mary's Magnificat. And let me just give you a few highlights, and you can read this on your own. And this commentary reminds us that this is a canticle, a song that Our Lady sang of singular beauty. It glorifies God, and it describes how God raises up the humble and the lowly, how he's always faithful to his chosen people, and how he will never abandon us. He is our Father for all ages. And when we look at this, let's look at the Magnificat just for a few moments. Mary says her soul glorifies or magnifies the Lord. Mary does not obscure the Lord. She magnifies the Lord for us. That her spirit rejoices in God, her Savior. Sometimes people say, well, how can Mary be the Immaculate Conception? How can she be without sin when she calls God her Savior? That's because God saved her from sin before she was ever contaminated by sin. Mary was preserved from original sin, vaccinated from original sin. Mary was protected by being contracted by original sin. That's how she can call God her Savior. There's two ways to save somebody if they're about to fall into a pit. One, you can catch them before they fall in, or if they do fall in, you can pull them out. Well, God caught Mary before she fell into the pit of original sin. That's why she can call God her Savior. We're saved after the fact, by baptism and confession, by the grace of Christ. He has regarded the low estate of her handmaid. So he looks upon Mary's lowliness, her humility, above all things. And it says in this commentary, a beautiful quote, why did God choose Mary? Was it because of her faith, her charity, her purity? No, it's because of her humility. That's what the commentary reminds us of. I would recommend that you look into the Old Testament the first book of Samuel, chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. And you'll see Our Lady was quoting the passage in Samuel. Our Lady knew Scripture by heart. She was immaculately conceived. She had a peerless intellect. She was brilliant. So when she read Scripture, she probably memorized the entire Old Testament scrolls as a young girl. And so when you read the Magnificat, you see that she's quoting different passages from the Old Testament. For example, let me share with you a few of these. When she says, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior," that's from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. "He's regarded the low estate of his slave." That's from Psalms, the 113th Psalm, Psalm 113. When she says, "The Almighty has done great things for me, holy is his name," that comes from Psalm 111. "His mercy is on those who fear him from in every generation," that comes from Psalm 103. "He has shown strength of his arm," from Psalm 33. "He has scattered the proud in the conceit of their heart," Psalm 89. And 2 Samuel chapter 22. "He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly," Psalm 147. In the book of Job, chapter 12. "He has filled the hungry with good things," 1 Samuel chapter 2. "He sent the rich away empty," Psalm 34. "He has helped his servant Israel," the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41, in verse 8. "And he remembers his mercy," Psalm 98, verse 3. And the last couple, "He has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever," Genesis chapter 17, verse 7 and 18, verse 18. So imagine that when you see and read this Magnificat, this Catena, this Magnificat, which is so beautiful. Again, get the Navarre commentary, and you can go through each of these passages, look them up in the Old Testament, and you see how beautiful this song is, this song of joy to Almighty God, how he raises up the lowly and the humble. He sends the rich away empty. God will always be faithful to his covenant to Israel. He remembers his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever. And so the Catena, we shouldn't just rush through the Catena. It is such a beautiful prayer. And think of the beauty of Mary's Magnificat. And then we end the Magnificat by praying, "O Mary, conceive without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee." That's from the Miraculous Medal apparition. And then there's a prayer in the Catena to Jesus, who's our mediator with the Father, and he's appointed Mary, his mother, to be our mother also, and our intercessor, our mediatrix with him. And we pray that the Lord will grant whatever we ask of him through Our Lady's intercession. What a beautiful prayer. And one last thought before we move on to the next standing instruction is take a look at page 113 in your Legion Handbook. And it reminds us in the Catena that it's done halfway through the meeting. And then it says, and of course you can adjust that depending if the priest, you know, comes a little bit early, a little bit later. You can modify that a little bit. It says, "There is nothing in the Legion more beautiful than the united recitation of the Catena, whether it finds the Presidian immersed in joy or disappointment, or treading wearily on the way of routine. It comes like a breeze from heaven, all steeped in the fragrancy of her who is the lily and the rose, refreshing and gladdening most wonderfully. No mere picturesque description." Every legionary knows this full well. So the playing of the Catena is like a breeze that passes through each Presidium meeting. And now the third standing instruction. The performance of a substantial, active legionary work in the spirit of faith and in union with Mary, in such fashion that in those worked for in one's fellow members, the person of our Lord is once again seen and served by Mary, his mother. So take a look at page 191 in your Legion handbook. The performance of the weekly work obligations. It reminds us that our work should be substantial. That means about 2 hours a week. Now, of course, it says you shouldn't just mathematically restrict yourself on this. It says a large proportion of legionaries far exceed that minimum. And then it says the work must be active. It cannot merely be saying a prayer or prayers. It says it must be a definite, active duty assigned by the presidium. It says not something dictated by the pleasure of the individual legionary. So you receive an assignment from the meeting, from the president. You'll say, okay, this week I'll do this, or this week I'll do that. It's an assignment from Our Lady that comes to you from the president. Prayers or other spiritual exercises, this is the top of 192, however considerable, do not satisfy this obligation or even supply, in part, the place of active work. So it must be substantial, it must be active, and then it must be a legionary work. Not every work is legionary work, like giving food to the poor, clothing, or things. These are good works, but they're not legionary works. They're done by St. Vincent de Paul and House of Mercy and other things, but legionary works are different. We then have to do our work, it says, in the spirit of faith. And the handbook reminds us that the rules of prayer must be applied to our work. What are the rules of prayer? Well, we need to pray with humility. We need to pray with faith. We need to pray with perseverance. We need to pray with confidence. And so these are the rules of prayer. We need to apply these to our work. So do our work with the right intention. Do our work with humility. Do our work with faith. Do our work with perseverance. Do our work with confidence in our Heavenly Father. And then it says, we have to do our work in union with Mary. This means living out the true devotion in union with Mary. To love with Mary's heart, to think with Mary's mind, to speak with Mary's lips, to be another Mary. Page 192, letter D. The legionary work is to be done in closest union with Mary. It says we must instill into those who are the object of our visit a knowledge of Mary and a true love of her, which will cause those souls to undertake some service of her. So instill in every person you meet a tender and true devotion to Our Lady. And the handbook says in the standing instruction that in those worked for and in one's fellow members, the person of Jesus is once again seen and served by Mary, his mother. In those worked for, that means those we visit, in the hospitals, the prisons, the nursing homes, on door-to-door, the children we teach in CCD, the families we visit as new parishioners, Pilgrim Virgins, Sacred Heart Enthronement. Your job is to see Jesus in everybody that you meet on your assignment and treat them as Mary would treat Jesus. But then it says something very interesting. You have to see Jesus in those you work for and in your fellow members. That's the tough part, right? You know, it's easy to see Jesus in somebody that's dying of cancer in the nursing home or somebody under hospice, or to see Jesus in a child. Sometimes it's harder to see Jesus in maybe your spouse or your family members, even your Legion family. There might be somebody at the meeting that could be very difficult to get along with or irritating. You have to see Jesus in that person as Mary would treat Jesus. So there's not an accident that this was put into the standing instruction, because you can't be all charitable to the person in the nursing home and be mean and unkind to your fellow legionary. So you have to see Jesus in your fellow legionary. Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 25, whatsoever you do to the least of my brethren, that you do unto me. So So we try to see Jesus. When Saul was persecuting the Christians, Jesus said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So you have to see Jesus in everybody that you meet and in your fellow members. And it says, therefore, Jesus will be seen and served by Mary, his mother. Not by you, but by Mary, his mother. So that reminds us that what is the Legion of Mary? It is Mary all over again, as Frank Duff said. It is the spiritual presence of Mary in the world. It's Mary's hands and feet, Mary's heart, Mary's motherly love for her children. So you are Mary's presence. We're a legion of Mary. Mary's, I like to call it Mary's mystical body, Mary's spiritual presence in the world today. So that's what the Legion is all about, is seeing Jesus and serving Jesus in people that you meet and your fellow members as Mary would. So it's giving Mary an opportunity to continue to mother the world and to mother the church. And lastly, the fourth standing instruction, absolute respect for the confidential nature of many matters discussed at the meeting or learned in connection with legionary work. How many of you remember the old handbook and the other four standing instruction? This is the new handbook. Anybody remember? I've been in Legion for 37 years since I was a little tiny kid. And well, growing up, the four standing instruction said, the preservation of an absolute secrecy in regard to any matter discussed at the meeting or learned in connection with legionary work. Raise your hand if you remember that handbook. Okay, we have a few old-timers in here. Okay. Not old being old, but old being old in the Legion. How about seasoned legionaries? It's interesting because it said absolute secrecy to any matter discussed at the meeting or learned in connection with legionary work. The reason why the Legion had to modify that is people were taking it too strictly. You'd invite somebody to the Legion and say, hi, come to the Legion, but we can't tell you what we do or what we say. You know? Some people could take it to such an extreme they wouldn't tell people that, you know, we prayed the rosary or we did spiritual reading or we gave reports or the priest gave a talk. Because it said absolute secrecy in regard to any matter discussed at the meeting or learned in connection with legionary work. And that was causing some issues. So in the wisdom of the Legion, they clarified that and said, this is our new standing instruction. Absolute respect for the confidential nature of many matters discussed at the meeting or learned in connection with legionary work. So in other words, use your common sense. Yes, you can tell people the kind of works we do, what the meeting is like, what we do at the meeting, but we cannot share confidential information that we learn from the meeting, from reports, or from our visits. Let's say delicate information about people being in invalid marriages or living in sin or being, you know, let's say problems with alcohol or drugs within families. These things are confidential. And take a look at page 194 in the handbook. It says, confidence must be preserved by legionaries in regard to what they hear at their meetings or in the course of their work. This knowledge comes to them because they are legionaries, and it would be an intolerable treachery to the Legion for them to divulge it. So it's treachery, it says, to share with those outside the meeting, let's say, delicate or confidential things you learned at the meeting or in the report or on your visit. So as we conclude now, what I just want to mention under this four standing instruction is that I gave a talk once called the Five Secrets of the Legion. And the first one, of course, is confidentiality, that we keep things of a delicate and sensitive nature confidential. So very quickly, I'll tell you that the second secret of the Legion, the secret bag. Okay, the secret bag. Isn't it amazing that people confidentially put a donation in there? It should be a sacrifice. People should not just put in 50 cents or a dollar. It should be a sacrificial gift to the Legion. After all, you're giving the Legion 2 hours of apostolic work, you're giving the Legion 90 minutes of the meeting, and yet we throw in 25 or 50 cents. That doesn't really relate to the amount of other sacrifice that we're doing for Our Lady. So it should be a sacrificial gift. You know, give up something that week and put that money in the secret bag. It should be sacrificial because this goes to helping the envoys. I remember hearing a talk by Father Zoll. Father Zoll was the priest who got my dad in the Legion. And he talked about the secret bag. And he says, and the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money itself, of course, but the love of money is the root of all evil. So what he says is, at the Presidium meeting, we take money and we put it in a little bag and we pull the string and we tie it up. And so we sort of capture the devil in that little bag, right? His love of money. And we tie it up and we give it to the Blessed Mother. And then she sends out missionaries all over the world and it supplies our supplies as well. So the first secret of the Legion is confidentiality. The second is the secret bag. The third is the secret of influence. Page 295. The secret of influence in the Legion is what? Love. The handbook says the only way to really change people's lives is to love them. The secret of influence is not beating them over the head with arguments. It is love. Then the fourth secret of the Legion is the secret of the Rosary. The Montfort wrote a book about it. Page 107 in the handbook, the Rosary is our greatest weapon. It's our sling against Goliaths of our society. Just like David used his sling to defeat Goliaths, but we use the Rosary to defeat the Goliaths of evil in our society. The Rosary is our secret weapon. Bishop Sheen said if you teach a non-Catholic how to pray the Rosary, if they faithfully pray the Rosary, they will be, they'll either stop praying the Rosary or they'll become Catholic. The secret of the Rosary. And lastly, number 5, the secret of Mary. That's the true devotion. Total consecration to Jesus through Mary. It is the secret of holiness. According to Mother Teresa, John Paul II, Frank Duffy, Del Quinn, Alfie Land, Maximilian Kolbe, St. Therese, they all made this consecration to Jesus through Mary. So the secret of Mary, that's the secret to conversions. When Mary appeared at Guadalupe, there were 10 million conversions within the next 15 years. That's the secret of Mary, that she leads us to Christ and can help us to convert the whole world. God bless you.